this passage in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, namely what it declares, what the Lord declares unto us in verse number 4, that we are of God, the Lord's children. We are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And to them are the false prophets, the narrative that they proclaim, the doctrine that they teach, and the spirits at work regarding such, the work of Satan, even in the world. And how that is so is because greater is he that is in you, in the children of God, than he is in the world, he that is in the world. There is one that it lives within the children of God. There is one at work in the world from the standpoint of wickedness and sin. And we've seen in these messages and in the scripture that the Lord Jesus has declared and showed unto us that he has all power. There's no power, there's no force, there's no entity that he does not control and have dominion over. Whether it be Satan and his working, and Satan being the author of sin, transgression against God Almighty, disobedience of him that he has taken and he has sown amongst mankind, to where that sin, that transgression, that one doubting of God's word has taken and infiltrated mankind for thousands of years and had caused so much death, so much destruction, such a great chasm between us and God from the natural standpoint, the Lord is able to deal with that too. He has all power. And he lives within his children. We've seen example after example regarding such. We took a look last time about how it is and how sin works in us. And we took a look about the case of the ear gate and the eye gate, a way into the heart of yet the children of God. Satan uses the ear gate and the eye gate on all, and he may even have access. He does have access to the unregenerate and the unsaved. But for the children of God, it's only by the ear gate and the eye gate, the sin that is yet in our minds from our past and our history, the baggage that we carry from our wicked past. He only has access that way, and we saw that by the passage that declares that such in 2 Peter chapter 2. And so may all of us, young and old and everywhere in between, may we guard our eyes. May we guard our ears. May we guard the meditation of our heart and not be like Ananias and Sapphira. May we not be that we would conceive wickedness and evil in the factory of sin that remains within us. That we would not be found, as we saw, grieving the Holy Spirit of God or quenching the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. May the Lord help us that we understand and follow these things our Lord has given us. In this morning, we want to take a look at the child of God's equipping and wrestling with the flesh. And by these things that are given to us as the children of God, we find evident within them, I think it's very evident within them, that Satan has no spiritual access within our hearts like he did or could have had before we were saved. Oh, we can listen to what he says. That's what John tells us. We can not try the spirits, as we've seen Samson not doing, or even King Saul, as Ananias and Sapphira did not. We have those examples in the scripture. If we don't try the spirits and weigh them up against the word of God and what God has instructed us, then we can buy off into a bill of goods sold by Satan and the world, the flesh, and follow after a wicked way and be found sinning against our God. And as we look into these passages that tell us about God's equipping and our wrestling, we find that our wrestling is indeed with the flesh. That's what we're told. Never are we told about a wrestling and a thing that's going on within because of access to Satan to us spiritually as the children of God. It's evidenced by how we've been equipped and prepared. There's even some examples that we'll just touch on this morning. A lot of scriptures this morning, and you can note these down and take a look at them as you have time, and we look, Lord willing, to wrap up this series of messages in this concluding message. In Ephesians chapter 4, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, we see this here, and it's one of other passages in the Scripture that talks this way into us. In Ephesians 4:17, the Scripture says here, the Lord says unto us, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." This church out of Ephesus is a namely Gentile church there in Asia Minor, the farthest in Asia Minor from the standpoint of going west of all the churches, you know, from Jerusalem, that first church being a Jewish church to start with. Brother Mark's going through the book of Acts telling and showing how the Lord, his intention and work was to bring in Gentiles also. He says, don't walk as other Gentiles, but in the vanity, the emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Do not walk that way, child of God, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. This lasciviousness is just a terrible, wicked desire, speaking about desire that is forbidden by God because of its sin against Him. It's abominable sin against Him. There's different things in different degrees. But ye have not so learned Christ, and as the children of God we have not, to follow and walk after the flesh. Here's a qualifier in verse 21. Are you saved? If so be, you have heard Him. Are you saved? Are we saved? Have we been saved? And have been taught by Him? Have we learned from our Lord that has saved us? As the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation. Conversation means thinking, doing, speaking. The old man. Put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Those are deceptive desires. That's what the flesh follows after. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here, he speaks about the flesh, and he speaks about this we have before us, about the old man and the new man. We need to put on the new man, and we need to take off the old man. We need to feed the new man and starve out the old man. That's what's given to us to do. In Romans chapter 7, we see this by an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking to this church about many things that they need, a Gentile church, some Jews there, no doubt, but a Gentile church, namely. And we pick it up in verse number 7 of Romans 7, and the Scripture says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. The law of God. The law of God tells us our Father could not abide by one law, therefore we've got to have it spelled out into us. And then, as we've seen in our governments and legislatures and the working of the institution of government amongst mankind, every year there's more and more laws passed because every year mankind finds some other way to go against what's right. Not saying that all laws are righteous, but those that are testimony to our failure of being obedient to good, right things, aren't they? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust or desire, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Don't want something that is not yours to take it away from another. That's covetousness. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment comes up, sin is there and is being told on by it, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Desire, this word concupiscence is speaking about desire and longing for what is forbidden by God. God says no. As a man, as a woman, as a boy, as a girl, God says no to that. And the law stands there and says no, but, oh, I so want it. I so want to do what I want to do. We're all faced with it from young to old. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, just going my own way, doing my own thing. But when the commandment came, sin revived. It was brought up to be seen for what it is. And I died, because we know in the Scripture tells us we're sold unto sin. Naturally, we're captivated by sin. It's got us. It's the taskmaster, as we have seen in messages in the last couple years. Verse 9, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life, that's the purpose of God, to tell us the truth, I found to be unto death. I cannot keep it. It's against me always. It's showing and revealing my wickedness. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. For the Jews, well, even for the religious today, we think we can attain, don't we? Natural man can attain enough to be able to deal with God regarding our souls. It's folly, isn't it? If we see sin for what it is, that is folly. We need a Savior. We need something outside of ourselves. And He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, that we might really see our sin for what it is, a stench, a wickedness, a disobedience against the holiness of God Almighty, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Not a white lie. Not as parents allow our children to say, well, it'll be all right. I tell you what, disobedience against God is never all right. It is exceeding sinful. It's an affront to God Almighty. Disobeying Him. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. And indeed it is. It takes the Spirit of God to obey the law from the heart. Right? Oh, we can be cordoned off. We can be made to abide. But I tell you what Brother Stephen brought it out in his message last Sunday. The Lord Jesus said, If it's a problem with your hand, just cut it off. You'll be okay. If it's a problem with your eye, just cut it out. But it's not the hand and it's not the eye, is it? It's the heart. That's the problem. Even though one would be maybe physically debilitated to where they could not move at all, still, in the factory of sin, there's that disobedience and wickedness against God. Save for the salvation of the Lord. But I am carnal, sold unto sin. And Brother Paul, he declares this presently. I am carnal, the flesh. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Oh, isn't that a great conflict within one person? But yes, the new man wants to obey the Lord. With the flesh, the tongue, the mind is so quick to go off the other way. The desire and the cultivating of improper desires within the heart, it works down, it quenches the Spirit of God. It grieves the Spirit of God for the child of God. Again, this man that's speaking here is saved. If then I do, verse 16, which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Do you see something here? There's no blaming of Satan. The devil made me do it. No, not for the child of God. The devil got in me. No, not for the child of God. I couldn't help myself. Child of God, you sure could. The Spirit of God living within. We're going to see about that. We're going to see about this equipping. There's no blaming Satan here, is there? the apostle himself, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, sin that dwelleth in me. We've got to take that and we've got to put it down, don't we? Verse 18, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So there you are, the body of death. We've got the new man that is alive in Christ, heading for glory with the Lord. Great and marvelous promises that we can just not count. We cannot fathom the extent of them with an old dead man strapped on our back. Praise be to God that He's taken death to be the release that we need to be. Won't it be? We can't even imagine what it will be to be free of sin. We just can't go there, can we? Because we're so ate up with sin, if you will, so infiltrated with sin, we can't even imagine. We try to stretch to understand what it would be without having the baggage. How it would be to not have the evil thought, to be totally resistant to all temptation, to not be ill affected in our way, in our speech, in our... We just can't even go there, can we? We can't get there. But I tell you what, it's good to desire. And it's a blessing indeed to rest in the promise that one day we'll be like Jesus. Oh, and the Lord has taken death and made it the escape. And our lives are in the Lord's hands. He'll take us on when it's time. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, new man, but how to perform that which is good I find not, old man. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Understand, the apostle is not developing here a position of presumption against the way of the Lord. He's not setting up something here that says, well, since you're a sinner and we're sinners, we just can't help sinning, so don't worry about it. He's not saying that. He's just laying it out plain about, it's not the Spirit of God that causes us to sin. Amen? It's not our Lord Jesus living within us that causes us to sin, is it? No, it's this old flesh, this old mind, and the wicked things, the spirits, and the doctrine of the false prophets, and the world, and the media, and Satan, and those around us that we listen to, our own desire of this old flesh, and that we take that as James. We saw last time that James tells us how that cooks. We are enticed, we cook that around, and then it takes and it sprouts up into sin, manifested in our hearts and by our bodies. Sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the new man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. The mind, the heart, it's hard to really get that pinned down, how we're put together. We know we're made body, soul, and spirit, but those references, you know, the heart's not talking about the blood pumping muscle. It's talking about that you, that part of you. The soul, I think, really is there. For the child of God, I was thinking about this in light of the message, you know, I think it's Brother Raymond Johnson. He laid it out like this decades ago. He said, for somebody that's not saved, here's what you got. You got the soul that's alive for eternally. And for somebody that's not saved, the body's in control. And the spirit's laying over there in the corner dead. That's true, isn't it? That's true. Body, just a body, heart, mind. No, maybe the conscience trained by the principles of God, by parents or society that teaches a right good thing, but the body's in control. But listen, for the saved person, for the one that's saved, The soul is eternally alive. The soul has been saved. The flesh is still there, the body and the mind and that and the past, as I've mentioned to you, it's still there. But who else is there? The Spirit's now alive, isn't it? And that is the Lord Jesus. Now the Spirit, the Lord Jesus says, I'm in control of this. But that old mind and flesh has not been sent off somewhere. He's in there too. Very interesting, isn't it? And the Spirit is to be in control. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, verse 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. That's the state we're in. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because that's what sin does. It always brings forth death, doesn't it? Yeah. This body, this mind, sin. He asks a question. Who's going to deliver me? How will I be delivered from this? Oh, there is an answer. Brothers and sisters, there indeed is an answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We will be delivered. In the meantime, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I've got a warfare going on within me. What is it that the brother declares unto us in Romans chapter 12, a few pages over? You can take a look over here in Romans chapter 12. Here's the instruction given unto us as the children of God. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, verse 1 of Romans 12, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's that aspect, that part of the old man, the body. Don't kill it. But presented a living sacrifice unto God to be used by Him. A living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world. Stay away from the way of the world. Stay away from the message of the world from whom it comes, whether it be men or Satan. And be ye transformed, be changed. Metamorphosis is the Greek, the English word that comes from the Greek word. Be changed by the renewing of your mind. Take that mind and not ill affect it with the way of the flesh, the desire of the flesh, the way of the world, the way of Satan, but transform it by what God says, what our Lord gives us. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Good will of God. Acceptable will of God. Perfect will of God. It is attainable by us. It is attainable. It is before us that we can please our Lord by His power and not follow after the way of the world and the flesh. We come over to Ephesians chapter 6. And take a look here what the Scripture says. Here's some of this equipping for the warfare. You know these passages. We just want to take them and bring them all here together at one time that we might have this understanding. And have you heard anything here about dealing with the aspect of Satan tormenting the soul and tormenting the spirit? The problem is us. Oh, Satan's out there going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The power of Satan is real. I do not deny that. That is there. That is real. We need to have that and understand that as our Lord's taken it and put it in its right place. But our biggest problem is us. My biggest problem is me. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, listen to these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Because you're getting ready for a fight. that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the wicked, right? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, not in your heart from Satan. Oh yeah, spiritual wickedness may be there. Ananias and Sapphira conceived such. They took the word of they took the word of the world and the influence of Satan, and they took that in and they conceived a way that was disobedient to the Lord. To lie to God? To lie to the Spirit? This is what's going on in the world. This is what's going on in our culture today. We were seeing it. We look at our government. We look at our culture. We look at the world. And this is indeed what's going on. And there's a spirit. There are spirits and words and doctrine that is being taught and being bombarded. We are being bombarded by. And we need to put on the armor of God that we might be able to stand. Stand for what's right and for what's true, to speak, as he'll say and tell us here. We're not fighting physically men, but the influence of Satan, the influence of the depravity of man, our own flesh, spiritual wickedness in high places, and indeed it's being manifested more and more in our day. Because of that, wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, not in part, but entire, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, onward Christian soldiers marching as to war, we're told to stand. Stand like a pillar. The church is the pillar and prop of the truth. We are to go and declare the gospel. And there will be a conflict. There will be a resistance indeed. But we're called to stand. Like the Ebenezer was raised by those saints of old. We're to stand for what the Lord says. And to weather that storm and be a beacon of light unto this world. Verse 14, there, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. They're being aimed, they're being shot at us, and we'll be able to defend with this shield of faith in our Lord. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, our instruction book from the Lord. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, like we mentioned this morning. 10 days of prayer and 30 minutes of preaching, maybe. And the Lord saved so, so many. Oh, may we get the priority. May I get the priority right. Watching thereunto with all perseverance, pressing on, pressing towards the mark, and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given. For us, that utterance may be given. That I may open my mouth boldly. That we would open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's our calling. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. Do we view ourselves as being set free? Well, from sin, we've been set free. We've been made free. But in regards to Christ, in regards to our Lord, and in regards to our triune God, are we free from Him? We're bound to Him by love's strong cord to do not our own will, but to do His. I'm a representative and I'm bound to it, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And then this in 2 Peter chapter 1. You know this is a favorite passage of mine. It instructs us and tells us. Listen to what we're being told here in this equipping for this conflict that we are in. Listen to what we're instructed to In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We've been given all that we need. Now, in the experience of our life, we indeed need to go to the Lord for the particular thing that we need at this time, at this point of growth in which we find ourselves, or this thing, this issue that is at hand that we need to know and understand the will of God of how for us to perceive or operate or do. But we've been given all things. Do we say, no, we've not been given all things? According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Living life. We have the Spirit of the Lord within, and we have all things there, and godliness, obedience to him. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that you and I need to know. We need to know those promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, is that the new man or the old man? That's the new man, isn't it? Partakers of that. Partakers of the divinity of Christ. The promises cause us to have assurance and encouragement and the fuel for perseverance, the faithfulness of our Lord towards us, that we might be faithful to him. Partakers of the divine nature, not the natural nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, through desire, to escape that. That's how we'll do so. This is speaking again about the flesh, isn't it? And beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control, and to temperance patience, waiting on the Lord, and to patience godliness, being like Christ Jesus. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, brotherly love and fellowship together. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Love with legs on it. To our Lord, to one another, and to a lost and dying world. To not be like ourselves, but to be like Jesus. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, verse 10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. A caveat there. Are you saved? Make sure you are. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance. An entrance into heaven. To be greeted by the Son. To be received by the Father. To see the glories of where our Lord lives. In our case, maybe to be raptured. It's a promise that we have. When it comes time for us to see our Lord face to face, do we want it to be that we've been obedient? Do we want it to be that we've been disobedient? You know, all the things that we think that matter, at that time, they won't matter. Only the things spiritual and eternal will matter. May the Lord help us. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, this is Peter says, this is my mission. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Add to your faith. Remember the promises. Be partakers of the divine nature. Know that all the things equipping-wise that we need, we've been given. We need to pursue them. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. You know these things, but I want to remind you of them. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as he's alive, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. I want to remind you. You know all about it. I want to remind you again. And I want to remind you such that after I'm gone, you'll be reminded of these things. Satan may touch our bodies. We've not spent much time on this, but two accounts here that we want to note here in the Scripture. Satan may touch our bodies if our Lord allows, but not our souls, not our hearts, or our minds from within. You remember about the account of Brother Job, don't you? We do. His physical body was touched by Satan. But in that whole entire book of Job, we see nothing about his soul, heart, or mind that it was touched by such. But in his soul and his heart and his mind was a wrangling with self and dealing with the input of those around him. Isn't that what we see in Job? Satan was allowed to touch his body. But Job's wrestling was with himself and with the sorry accusations and misrepresentation of God from his three quote-unquote friends. Interesting, isn't it? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we see about the Apostle Paul. We hear from him about the wonderful revelations and the things that the Lord caused him to see. His meeting, the Lord meeting him and stopping him, saving him there on the road to Damascus. Later on in years, about how he was given visions of glory, it seems, and wonderful things of God. And he says it was just some of it I just can't even tell you about. It's so wonderful. But it says in verse number 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me." That word buffet means to punch, to slap, lest I should be exalted above measure. The Apostle Paul testifies that the Lord made it clear to him that this thorn in the flesh was of Satan. That the Lord in that regard took off his protecting hand so Satan could afflict Paul in this way. Why? So that the Lord might be glorified more in him. That Paul might be able to go to a greater maturity in our Lord. And look, listen to this, brothers and sisters, that untold thousands of the children of God since his time and when the Spirit of God moved him to write these words and tell us about this could be ministered to in such a thing ourselves. The experiences and the things that we go through, they may and will be hard on us, on the flesh. But you know what? The Lord takes those things as we yield to Him and we don't rest against Him. We don't twist and turn against Him, but we go to Him for succor and for help. He can take those things and cause us to grow up. And then He can put us in a place that we can be a minister to somebody else. Like no one can be, because we've gone through it. That's what the Lord does. That's what He does indeed. Satan torment the body? Yes, if he's allowed by the Lord, even a child of God. Torment the mind, the heart, and the soul directly? Not with the Lord our Savior living within. He can't do it. He has access externally, but not internally. Oh, can a person be mentally injured? This damage of the brain and of the mind. Yes, it can even happen to the child of God, sure. But can a child of God be possessed or controlled by Satan? No, not with the strong man living within. Because remember, the strong man took away all the armor of the other. He took all that which he trusted in, and he took him and he kicked him out. He's gone. He's gone from within. In conclusion, the devil made me do it. The devil got in me. Or the devil is working on my mind. Or even the dreams of the Lord's people, some believe the gray is a great working of Satan in their sleep. No. Jesus is the strong man that has saved us from our sins. Satan nor his fallen angels can ever occupy us again or work on us from within. Indeed, Satan can influence us through the eye and the ear gates. He can and he looks to do so. Satan is always the tempter of men with sin and to sin. Hear that? He tempts with sin and he tempts to sin. As the children of God, he can use others to tempt us. And he can use the unsaved. He can use this world and its system to tempt us all. He goes about indeed as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, devouring the testimonies and lives of anyone that he can. As our Lord's children, our old man is our greatest problem in our walk with the Lord. The depraved sinfulness of this body and the unsaved mind are the greatest problem that we have yet with sin. But praise the Almighty that we will be delivered from this one day when our salvation will be completed. And let us remember the situation of the unsaved. And if you're here and not saved today, oh, we pray for you. We plead with you as the Apostle Paul did. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out unto mercy, for mercy unto God, because you need your soul saved, and Jesus is the only one that can do so. We pray for the removing of the scales from your eyes and the blockage of your ears, of your heart, and of your soul, that the Lord would take his word and make it real unto you. Your condition is precarious. You need the Savior. You need the rescue that only he can provide. And as the Scripture declares in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 6, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And that's what we do to you, if you're here and not saved, is we present you the truth that you might see it for yourself. We cannot force you, nor pretend to force you. Oh, but we plead that you would see your need before God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. May God be pleased to take away the blindness. He can. He's able. We've seen that over and over again in the Scriptures, haven't we? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, Lord, would you cause your light, the glorious light of the gospel of Christ Jesus, to shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We preach him, and we serve him, carrying this message unto you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in the creation, has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We pray that he will do so to you. And this ministry that our church has is a ministry just unto that end, that the Lord would shine into the hearts of sinners. Shine the truth of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're a sinner and you need a Savior. And Jesus is the only one. And then in Acts 26, verses 12 through 18, Paul declaring here again what the Lord did with him and saving him and calling him. He declares here, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king," speaking to Agrippa, "I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee.'" He took this man, a religious Jew, self-righteous, wrapped up in his self-wisdom, and he took him and he shined the light unto him. And he saved him. And he saved him. He saved him to do just this, to take this same word that the Lord brought unto him to save his soul and to take it and to carry it to the likes of you and me. And this is what he says regarding it. He said, "I am going to send you to tell and show these things, to be a witness of these things that you've seen and which will appear unto thee." Verse 17, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles whom unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith." Faith that is in me. That's what our calling and mission is here too, at Olmsted Baptist Church. We've been called by the Lord to bring this same message unto you. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help each one in the house and work in our hearts. This is the case of the one that is away from the Lord, blindness by Satan, encompassed and wrapped up in darkness and in sin, the power of Satan. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the child of God, we are of God, little children. And we've overcome these prophets and these spirits that abound in the world. We need to try these spirits. But we have overcome and can overcome because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.